Well, good Sunday evening to you all. This is Pastor Joe Wood of Fuzzy Hill Baptist Church coming to you tonight with another word from the Lord. Tonight we're going to skip around just a little bit and we're moving on to chapter 9 of 2 Samuel. Don't worry, like I said, we're going to look at chapter 7 through 11 and then we'll be wrapping this up. I know we have been in this study for quite some time, but if you think about it, we don't get to do a lot with it since we have different schedules on Sunday nights and we do all our business meetings and everything then as well. So we have a little bit more discussed before we wrap this study up. So now, by way of introduction, I would like to ask you a question. How important is it to keep your word? Or in another word of putting it, is it critical that we keep our promises to those around us? Certainly it is. And the Word of God clearly teaches us that. 1 John 2:5, "But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." So, if we keep our word, then we are displaying the love of Christ to those who we come in contact with. Also, if we keep our word, then we are displaying Christ in our lives. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Paul says that he was confident of one thing, and that was that Jesus Christ had always kept his promises, and there was nothing that was going to change that. He was confident that Christ would perform a good work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to learn about how David kept his promise to Jonathan. Jonathan was dead and gone now, but before he died, David had promised to him that he would take care of his family. Jonathan was the dearest friend that he ever had, and he wanted to continue in his love for the great friend and to extend his promise and to the extent of keeping his promise. So let's look now at chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, and we're going to see the oath that David fulfills to Jonathan and his family. So tonight's message is entitled, "David Fulfills His Oath to Jonathan." It says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan had yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lo-debar. And the king said, and then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo-debar. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? So with the time that we have tonight, I would like to share with you just how David keeps his promise to Jonathan through his son. We're going to see three things from this passage of Scripture tonight. And first thing that I see is David summoned Saul's former manager. David summoned Saul's former manager. And I want to ask three questions as we think about verses 1 through 4. The first thing that I want to ask is, who is Ziba? Who is Ziba? And we'll see here in verse 2, "And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he." Now, Ziba was a former steward, or what we would like to call a manager of Saul's royal estate to the court. And the Bible teaches us in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, that Ziba was a wealthy man in his own right. says here, "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, thy servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, What meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young man to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, And where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. And then said the king to Ziba, Behold, thine are all that pertain to Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. And so I'm sure that through the years, Saul had given him some things for being a devout helper and labor in his court. And thus he had some assets that he desired to give David. And thus, as he approaches him, David knew that this would be the exact man for the job. He would know if there was anyone else, because I'm sure he was the very one that had kept up with Saul's family through the years, it would be Ziba. So now let's ask the second question. What was David's question to Ziba? What was David's question to Ziba? Well, verse 3, And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan had yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And so David wanted to make things right in the eyes of God. As one can note, as David is asking the question, he asked in such a way that would show kindness of God into the family of Saul. David knew that Jonathan had been the very best friend that he had in his life. Thus, he wanted to do something good back to Jonathan's family and also to keep the promise that he had made with Jonathan. Jonathan's family were to be taken care of as long as there was breath in the lungs of David. And so Ziba looks at David and says, Yes, I know of Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, and the very son of Jonathan himself. And I believe that this was a great opportunity in the moment and time for Jonathan's family to be rewarded because Mephibosheth needed help. I believe God was orchestrating all of this out. And David's heart was right in desiring to show the kindness of God, and Jonathan's family needed some help. And so we see the question was, who is left in Saul's family? And more importantly, from Jonathan. And when the last question was, what was the problem with Jonathan's son? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan had yet a son, which is lame on his feet. Now, the Bible clearly teaches us that since Mephibosheth was 5 years old, the boy had been dropped by his nurse, who had picked him up to flee after receiving the news of Saul and Jonathan's death. 2 Samuel 4:4, And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was, what do you think? Mephibosheth. So the Bible teaches us that for years, Mephibosheth had been cared for by Machir, who was a wealthy and powerful man living east of the Jordan River at Lo Debar. And there was no political reason for David to strive for this land because it had no value. And the word literally means, Lo Debar, literally means nothing in the original Hebrew. So David had never bothered him, nor had Mephibosheth bothered David. However, things were about to change for both parties involved in this scripture. And so let's see a second thing from this passage. I see first, David summoned Saul's former manager. But secondly, I see that David summoned for Jonathan's son. In verse 5, Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo Debar. So David called for Mephibosheth to come and be a part of the kingdom. He wanted to make things right and to share the kindness of God. And David knew God had been gracious and kind to him. Thus, he wanted to do the same for the family of Jonathan. So Mephibosheth comes to the royal court, and as he arrives, he does something that may have been a surprise to David and maybe even to you and I. We see that Mephibosheth, secondly, humbly bows down to David. In verse 6, "Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence." So one can see that Mephibosheth, even though he had a royal background and knew David well, he fell on his face and humbly, and I would imagine a little fearful, because he says, you will see here in just a moment that David responds with "fear not." So I believe Mephibosheth was a little fearful, bowed before David as a sense of reverence to him. Was there any anger in him for taking the royalty from his family? The Bible doesn't tell us, but I don't think so. Because I believe, and this is just Joe thinking, that the very reason that he bowed down to David was because his father had told him in his life to respect David and to honor David. And so David gave the assurance of the special relationship that they would have. Look with me. It says, "And David said unto him," this is verse 7, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." So David gives him strong assurance and encourages him not to fear, for the king would show him kindness for the sake of his father Jonathan. And as we know, David had made a vow or an oath, you could say, to his best friend Jonathan, and he was seeing this promise through his son Mephibosheth. So we've seen David summoned Saul's former manager, and then we see that David summoned for Jonathan's son. And then the final thing that I want to share with you is this: David issued a royal decree for Jonathan's sake. And in doing so, he did two things. First, he restored all the personal land of Saul to him. It says, "And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." So David issues a royal decree that gave all the land that personally belonged to Saul, and even gave the property at Gibeah back to Mephibosheth. Because in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 8, it states, "And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." So David restored all the personal land of Jonathan's and Saul's to Mephibosheth. And then not only does he do that, which is a miraculous thing, but he granted him the right of living at the palace. And he says, "And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." He didn't say, "I'd invite you over just every once in a while," but he said, "You will eat at my table continually." What an outstanding and astonishing decree from David himself. He not only gave him his land back, but he also told him he was welcome to live at the palace and always welcome to eat at the king's table. Therefore, he would always have a pension provided by the king. And I believe this is a great testament to David in honoring the oath that he had given to Jonathan. He truly was taking care of his family, and David was a man of his word. In conclusion, verse 8 says, "And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I?" Preacher's Outline and Sermon Bible states, astounded at receiving such a wonderful gift from the king, Mephibosheth bowed down, showing total humility to the king. Know that he called himself David's servant, questioning why David should notice a dead dog like him. Obviously, Mephibosheth was gripped with low self-esteem, perhaps due to his being crippled in both legs throughout life. The term "dead dog" was an expression of contempt. He was expressing astonishment and thankfulness to David for being so kind to such a contemptible person as himself. And David was showing kindness to Mephibosheth. Kindness is one of the greatest virtues in life. A kind hand reaches out and helps when they are in need. As one wrote, a kind person will not speak harshly, lie, deceive, gossip, slander, falsely accuse, nor verbally tear down another person. A kind person will control his or her speech, speaking softly and speaking the truth, always encouraging and building up people. A kind person will always help others when they have need. People such as orphans, widows and widowers, prisoners, the brokenhearted, disease, suffering, hungry, thirsty, poor, empty, loneliness, homeless, and dying. In summary, a kind person will always be like a brother or sister to other people, demonstrating the very kindness of God Himself. David, here in our passage, was kind and compassionate to Mephibosheth, and you can do the same. So I challenge you this week to take these words and help someone out in need. It don't have to be the extent of David. However, just a small act of kindness can go a long ways toward someone else. May God bless you from the reading and the proclamation of your word tonight is my prayer. Amen.